Welcome into Morning Invest on this Wednesday, August 11th. On today's show, the White House continues to send out mixed messages about potential lockdowns and vaccine mandates. Are we going to have lockdowns, vaccine mandates? But certain states will say no way on the vaccine mandates. Other states might say yes. School boards saying maybe yes, maybe no. What the heck is going on out there? We don't know. We're trying to make some sense of it this morning. And a new report just released paints a grim picture about America's healthcare system. Shocking. Absolutely shocking, I know, to find out that America's healthcare system is not good. And the MyPillow guy gets his ass handed to him in a big way with some actual journalism. Wait until you see this video. You ready to get uncomfortable this morning with some news they won't cover on the mainstream media? Well, Morning Invest starts right now. And good morning. Yeah, we were talking in our pre-show about Governor Cuomo resigning. So he is out. And, you know, the Biden administration says, fine, we will not investigate you covering up those nursing home deaths. Like, you're going, it's nothing to see here. do you think that would happen under Trump? Like, do you think that, you know, let's say a Republican governor or a Democratic governor goes out, do you think that they would just look the other way? Absolutely not. They would continue this. You know, if Trump were president right now, they would continue to investigate this. You don't think that this is politics?
They'd start a commission.
Of course they would.
And an impeachment trial.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So we've got a lot to get to today, so I don't want to waste any time. Let's get right to our top story this morning. Let's talk about lockdowns and mandates of vaccines. So the White House, you know, continues to send out mixed messages about the rising cases of COVID and whether or not we are going to have to mask back up or whether we're going to stay locked down or what's going to happen. And so we're getting these mixed messages about the rising cases in different states across the country and whether new lockdowns are going to be coming soon. Pressed on this last week, whether the U.S. is headed for more lockdowns amid these rising cases, the White House Deputy Press Secretary at the time, Karine Jean-Pierre, told reporters, well, the way that we see this is that we have the tools in our tool belt to fight this, right? We have the tools in our tool belt. We can handle this right now, and so we shouldn't have to go back into any sort of a lockdown, and we should be okay with this. The way we can handle this, and we're not going to head towards a lockdown. But then a few minutes later, in the next breath said, well, in all probability, we will see more guidelines and restrictions. Okay, so what are the guidelines and restrictions? So if travel restrictions, no, you're not going to be able to cross state lines. What are the restrictions? Because it's starting to show once again, rear its ugly head about like what government or the federal government steps in and says, maybe you shouldn't be traveling to these states or puts these on a watch list like Florida and Texas, et cetera. Remember the back and forth with New York and Florida between Cuomo and DeSantis last year during the initial rollout of this. So she had to come out and clarify and had to walk this back after she initially said, well, we will in all probability see more guidelines and restrictions amid rising COVID cases. Other reports have said there are other members of the administration that are seriously looking at additional lockdowns right now. And look, I got to say, we know that the lockdowns were an absolute disaster for the United States of America. Absolute disaster. So is that the answer? Or is this just sort of a trial balloon floating that we would then push for sort of mandatory vaccines, which that's unconstitutional? Like, how are you going to pull that off, right? Are you going to have certain states that say, yes, you have to do it? Or are you going to see people moving from state to state? Anyway, Jean-Pierre had to walk these comments back, and Fox News then pressed her on this. She said, you know, White House says, well, won't rule out future lockdowns. She has said, to be clear here, here's what POTUS said this week. More vaccinations and mask wearing in the areas most impacted by the Delta variant will enable us to avoid the kinds of lockdown, shutdown, school closures and disruptions that we faced in 2020. We're not going back to that. We will not be going back into lockdown, she had to follow up. Okay, so she says, why? Because we now have the tools to put this virus behind us. The science says the vaccines work, including against the Delta variant. We urge Americans to get vaccinated. Yes, you can urge all you want, right? But the people that have gotten vaccinated right now are going, like the people that wanted to get vaccinated have gotten vaccinated. People that are on the fence that don't want to do it, they're not going to get vaccinated. And by the way, it's unconstitutional. You're not going to be able to force people to get vaccinated. Are you? I mean.
Well, and have you been seeing the data that's coming out of Israel on on the vaccines and stuff, like the fact that they're possibly only lasting maybe 6 months.
Yeah, and this was what we were worried about all along, right? It's like, how, like, are we going to have to do this regularly? By the way, these vaccines aren't even approved yet, right? They're not even approved. So they are experimental vaccines, just like we had during the small smallpox, right? They were unapproved. They were emergency vaccines. So we've had, there's a history of us doing emergency rollout of vaccines. So you're going to mandate, people get this? And then you have states like Florida and others saying, no, we will pass a law that there is no mandate and that you cannot enforce mask mandates. But I mean, you have inside the White House right now, the sort of mixed messaging going on, and she having to come out and walk this back. I mean, and what she's saying basically is, well, we will listen to, like I said, she says, I'm quoting now, she says, when she was pressed on this, well, we will listen to it. Like I said, we listen to the CDC and the experts and their guidance. And, you know, the CDC is a body that is very well respected, she says. And we will follow again, we will follow their guidance for possible lockdowns. So, okay, wait a second. You're telling me that, now this is the same CDC, by the way, that a few weeks ago says, if you're vaccinated, go out there, take your mask off. And we played the clip where Rachel Maddow like pressed the head of the CDC on this question, right? Dr. Walensky, and said, wait a minute, you're saying we're good to go? And she says, Rachel, I'm telling you, we are good to go. And then a week and a half later, now we got mask mandates indoors again, even if you're vaccinated? So wait a minute, let me just be clear. You're going to trust the CDC to tell us what to do as far as like potential lockdowns. You know, we've got some troubling data about children right now. And there's a surging number of the children getting COVID cases right now. It started out about a few weeks ago at 20,000. Then it surged to 40,000. Now it's up to 70,000 cases among children this morning. Well, and they can't get a vaccine. They can't get a vaccine right under 12.
Right. And the data coming from Israel is also showing that the majority of people in the ICU right now are previously vaccinated people.
I wonder what vaccine they had in Israel.
I'm not sure on that one, but I could have to look into it. But just I was watching where they were talking about the data and that even the deaths are coming from, majority right now are coming from previously vaccinated people.
So, you know, you have this pushback right now between Ron DeSantis. You have the White House giving out mixed messages right now. But I can tell you right now, if they're saying, no, we were just testing this internally. We're having internal conversations. And the reporting, there's been some great reporting from sources inside the White House who have been actively having conversations about additional lockdowns. Okay. And now they're telling us, well, we're just going to listen to the CDC, where the CDC literally flip-flops in a matter of a few weeks. And by the way, will lockdowns work? I mean, you're seeing countries going back into lockdown phases now. China, Australia is going under lockdown. I spoke to some Australian friends who, like, and even if you're a citizen, so if you're a citizen, you want to fly to Australia right now, they will mandatory, you have to stay there for 6 months if you fly there right now. And so they're under lockdown. Israel also going under new lockdowns again.
And just so you know, Israel was Pfizer.
Oh, Pfizer shot? Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I got the J&J shot, and, you know, we know that up to the Delta variant, it's like 71% effective or something.
Well, and nobody, absolutely no one, you can find no one talking about natural immunity. I mean, you know, kind of like chickenpox. If you had chickenpox, you're immune for the rest of your life. Like, nobody knows how long the natural immunity is, so nobody's even talking about that potentially longer than the vaccine.
I've been working on this part of the story because I've been speaking to a doctor on this angle who has been looking at the antibodies in those who have already been infected with COVID. They contracted the virus. They survived and they are fine now, right? That's the kind of, I'm not talking about people that got sick and died, right? I'm talking about people that were 40, 50 years old, who were in good health. They got the virus. They were sick for a while. A friend of mine who got the virus almost a year ago still has smell, has not returned. Like, his taste still hasn't returned fully, but he has the antibodies. And the doctor that reaching out to on this issue is saying that the antibodies in someone who's been infected with the virus are significantly higher than those that have received the vaccine. So You know, that's great news, I guess. You know, so we know that the antibodies, I guess, just like getting chicken pox, et cetera, are way higher in those people who have actually been infected and survived. But, you know, I'm not going to be the one to sign up for like wanting to test that out. Like, hey, just let me, I'm going to go into a room full of 50 people like Obama's birthday party and hang out with all these maskless people on the chance that I will get COVID and I'll survive it. Because what if I don't?
I'd do it.
You would do it. You'd be like, hey,
I would do it. I'll volunteer.
I'm going to shove you into like a room of 300 people. There's a bunch of people in here who have COVID. You could get COVID and die. You would rather try to do that than get the vaccine.
Yes, as long as there was a good movie playing. Like, I wouldn't go in there and just sit. You know, there'd have to be some good entertainment. But yes, I would definitely do that.
So you've got a death wish.
No, I do not.
As long as there's like a Pixar movie on. You'd be fine.
I was going to say like Monsters, Inc. or something like that. I'd be totally into it.
You know, and some are Art saying, Clayton, go get your booster shot. Well, they haven't even approved these things yet. And is that what we're going to have to do now, is get these booster shots as part of this process?
Well, and if the immunity only lasts 6 months, that means you're going to have to get a booster every 6 months. Is that the case? When the natural immunity is like, I don't know. That seems crazy.
And, you know, you're starting to see, finally, you're starting to see like YouTube and others now starting to walk back that they like banning. They had banned different channels. They had shut down different discussions about natural immunity or not natural immunity, natural cures and natural remedies and so forth. There was, you know, there was public hearings about this. There were school board hearings. There was Senate hearings. These were public hearings with doctors and scientists talking about things like ivermectin and what they were able to find as a result of that. And YouTube shut them down. I mean, remove the videos, shut them down, right? Now they're walking that back. They're walking that back. And so I'm curious, like, if these channels that were talking about things that were shown to be highly effective in different testing and different results among hospital staff and medical staff, and they were having open hearings and open Senate hearings about this stuff, and then YouTube shut them down.
And that Twitter, happened to me.
I know it happened to you. And Twitter shuts down these stories. And what? And now they're having to pull it back. And now they're walking it back. Are they going to reinstate these channels? Like, oops, I'm sorry. And will they admit that?
Well, and my channel has 124,000 subscribers. And it has not recovered since they did that. Like, comments get deleted from my channel still. I have so many issues and I can't get anybody at YouTube to help me from that suspension for that video where I played a Senate hearing video. So like I have like 124,000 subscriber channel can't recover. Think about people that had smaller channels that have no, you know, no, not even a contact or anything.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And I will not be able to get that strike removed either.
Yeah. But hey, they're walking it back. So, you know, now we're allowing this because, you know, because I guess CNN did stories, other big mainstream media story, you know, actually started covering this. Joe Rogan started, you know, how are you going to start trying to put all of those, you know, trying to hide all of those sources and cover, well, you know.
And it really upset me when YouTube started. So they started this initially. So if you listen to RT News, like on YouTube, they had to put underneath it that this is Russian news. This is their Wikipedia page, which we all know Wikipedia is a joke. And then they were citing the WHO and the CDC underneath YouTube videos, anybody talking about the pandemic. And the thing is, both of those organizations have been wrong throughout this whole entire thing in many cases. So that's your source.
Right. Yeah, we've got some other stories on sources a little bit later in the show. So that's the very latest on this. You know, it's an absolute mess, but the White House is still not giving a clear message as to what they're going to do here. We know that there's this back and forth between Jen Psaki and Ron DeSantis. Ron DeSantis is saying that he, at a press conference yesterday, saying that these case numbers, you know, it's being blown out of proportion. It's going to go down in the next month here. Nothing to see here, nothing to worry about. That the numbers that we are able to report get muddled together and so forth. You know, what you're hearing is basically bogus. So that's Ron DeSantis, the White House, saying that's not accurate. You're trying to tell people that, you know, you can't get a vaccine or you shouldn't be masking up in public, et cetera. So there's this back and forth there. It's all political. It's all political, trying to score political points. And yet we still now FDA considering fast tracking this booster as well, when we still don't have FDA approval for the main shots. So you're going to fast track this when we still don't know the long term efficacy of this.
Well, even the thing is, if they want to get this approved, even the approval process has been cut in half if they get it approved, you know. So the approval process is completely different than what it used to be. Like they completely cut it in half. So yeah, so that these people can get their patents.
Right. Well, I mean, just like the Biogen, you know, Alzheimer's drug that was approved in lightning speed, and you have all these hospitals saying, "I'm not administering this to patients. Like this thing doesn't work." Like really, the FDA is fast tracking this Alzheimer's drug, giving people false hope. And so you have all these hospitals saying, "I'm not administering this. I don't trust this guy." I don't know what the FDA was thinking. Awful. Awful. We've got more news to get to. We're going to talk about the hiring crisis, and we're going to look at how that is tied to the stimulus that was just passed yesterday. So an update there. We're going to talk about the U.S. healthcare system. A new report out this morning is really shocking. And we'll talk about the MyPillow guy coming up in a little bit. But first, I want to tell you about our friends at Grammarly. So Grammarly is amazing. It's a great way when it comes to saving time and working more efficiently. It's the little things that start adding up and hogging time in your day, like fixing sentences in your email or, "Oh, this grammar is off. This doesn't make any sense." And Grammarly, basically, you can use it inside Gmail. It's a browser extension. You can add it to Chrome, Safari. I use Grammarly every day as we're writing our daily newsletter. We run everything through Grammarly first, just to make sure we didn't, you know, misplace a comma or have a word that doesn't make sense there, or passive voice, fixing all of that. So imagine sending emails like where you can have clarity and vocab suggestions. No more searching for synonyms. Like, "Hey, I've used that word 4 times in a row. Maybe I need to find another word instead of using the same thing." That's what they do. Grammarly Premium offers suggestions to replace overused words and phrases. For instance, I use it every day for the newsletter. How do you use it? I know David uses it all the time too, right?
Oh yeah, it's the only way I sound halfway intelligent.
And really, it's great for your team too. I mean, if you rely on a team that's sending out emails for business, you know, you don't want someone's not great with grammar on your team, but they're a fast typer and they're great in other ways. This is a great thing where you can get Grammarly Premium for your whole team, right? You can get 20% off right now just by signing up at grammarly.com/invest. You can hit send with confidence and get your point across more effectively with Grammarly Premium. That's 20% off when you go to grammarly.com/invest. I love Grammarly. All right, more news to get to today. What is next on the rundown? Let's talk about this hiring crisis. The hiring crisis is real. My mom's visiting me right now, and she hires. She's a CEO of a nonprofit, and she spent thousands of dollars trying to hire people, and she just cannot fill positions. And she's like, "It's just a waste of money right now. We're just not getting qualified candidates. We're not getting anyone." So, you know, the Senate just passed the $1 trillion stimulus package yesterday, which President Biden says will provide great high-paying union jobs. And this is going to put America back to work. That's great. We'll see how many of these will be government jobs. We'll have to wait and see. So we'll keep them on the clock on this. But right now we've got 10 million unemployed Americans, or 10 million job openings right now. 10.1 million job openings. This is a record. I want you to look at this graph here. Look at this graph. So you see the unemployed there, obviously, in March of 2020, right? Skyrocketed. Then slowly started going down. And then you see the job openings. And what this shows is that these businesses, they're ramping up hiring as much as they can. They're trying to hire. Profits are going up at these corporations. If you watch Wall Street data, I mean, you're just seeing these companies that are just borrowing money from the federal government hand over fist because of cheap interest rates, right? And the problem is the Federal Reserve continues to loan these businesses money for 0% interest, essentially. So what they're doing with this money is they are basically buying their own shares back. They're then trying to hire, and they're expanding they're becoming way more profitable. I mean, Wall Street businesses right now, just huge profits, right? And the problem is that Americans are saying, "Wait a second, I don't want to go to work at these companies that they're going to screw me over." That's exactly what's happening. And they have other opportunities. Harvard just did a study about these overworked, always on employees, and it's not good. The data in this new study is pretty awful. And you have all of these workers right now who are just burned out. Add that to the new job vacancy data, and we have a job crisis in this country. First, let's look at the new job data. You know, the worker shortage, as I pointed out here, 10.1 million. And according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, these job openings are a new record. I mean, at the end of June, this is by far the record amount of job openings the economy has ever had. This historically elevated level makes clear that we have a severe worker shortage that threatens what should be a prolonged economic boom. So the 10.1 million job openings is 590,000 more than in May, which was then an all-time record. And the growth is picking up for these businesses. They've added 3.3 million openings since the beginning of 2021, right? Their profits are off the charts and they're trying to grow, right? They can't keep up with demand. The demand for their products and services is off the charts. Great. Here's an idea. Why don't you pay or increase the salaries so you can fill these job openings? There's an idea. Look at this from Dan Price. A frustrated friend who recruits for a retail chain just called me. She told me her employer said she could pay a max of $19 an hour if she promoted someone internally, but could pay up to $30 an hour hiring from outside.
If that's not completely backward.
Right. He says, if you think this is moronic, you are absolutely not wrong. I should have mentioned that these are retail management positions that she recruits for. I mean, can you see the problem here? Can you see the problem here? So if you promote from within, you can only pay them $19 an hour.
Is that because the $30 an hour employee that gets hired signs an NDA not to disclose their income to the other employees? And if they do it internally, they can't have that or what?
Maybe. I mean, why the disparity? I mean, I guess you could probably think about, let me know in the chat. Why do you think the disparity there? I have a few ideas. You know, it's always cheaper to promote within. That's how it always is. It costs more to go out and get employees and pay them at a salary. So internally now they know they're making 15. If they promote them to 19, they should be happy. Just shut up and take it. Shut up and take it. Right. Well, but other people are like, I'm not moving to this country. I'm not going to work in this company like for $19 an hour. Like, these guys are overworked and underpaid. I'll work for you for $30 an hour. Sure, you're hired.
Well, and why wouldn't you reward good employees? Like, if you have the ability to pay that, then pay that and reward them. They'll work harder.
Imagine. You know, and retail is being crushed, as Dan says here. Should have mentioned that these are retail management positions.
Could you imagine if somebody like was getting $19 an hour, you know, they're struggling, they're barely getting by, and then their employer's like, you know what, we have a position, you're already in management, we're going to pay you $30 an hour. That would drastically change that person's life.
Yeah, like doubling their salary?
Yeah.
I mean, that's like what we talked about Dan Price, you know, the guy at the Seattle company who basically walked into his employees and said, you know what, I know you're making $35,000 a year. I'm now making a minimum salary for you of $70,000 a year. Thank you. And I'm reducing my salary. These companies are making, you know, we saw record profits. And yet you continue to pay people like crap, right, at retail establishments. You know, record number of people going in and picking up, you know, burgers and fries. Their corporate profits are through the roof.
Could you imagine how many people cried the day that Dan Price did that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's videos of him when he made that announcement in the room and people are like freaking out. And then he's gone on the Kelly Clarkson show with some of his employees. Like, the Kelly Clarkson invited him along with some of his employees and they talked and they were crying. They're like, it just changed my life. We were able to buy a house. We were able to get married. I have, you know, I have a good 401k. I have good retirement now. He changed our life. So he went from taking a 33 times the amount he was making as CEO and reduced it down to almost four times what the lowest paid employee was in the company. Imagine that. So you wonder why we have 10 million people that can't fill these jobs? Because Americans are sitting back saying, wait a second, I don't want to work for companies that walk on us anymore. And I love this Chamber of Commerce piece, by the way. This is such garbage. I just laughed out loud when I read this, right? So this is the Chamber of Commerce. Let's see, where is that piece? Yeah, so this is the Chamber of Commerce article, okay? Here's how they phrase it, right? Because they don't want people to make more money, you know? They're against, you know, increasing the minimum wage. So buried in this piece in the Chamber of Commerce, it says this: the biggest problem is getting workers to fill the historically large amount of open jobs. Workers are staying on the sidelines because of too generous government benefits. Fears about the virus, lack of childcare, and other factors. I love how lack of childcare and other factors. By the way, childcare is arguably way more important than the government benefits piece or fears of the virus. These people don't have childcare, so they're staying home because the schools aren't open, and they had to stay home. The nursery schools or daycares, et cetera, weren't open.
Childcare and daycares are basically another mortgage payment in some instances.
Exactly. So imagine paying them more so they could afford that to put their child in a daycare while they go and provide for their families and other factors. I love this. But here's my favorite is the last two sentences. This is the top issue in the economy right now. The enormous number of job openings is holding the economy back from reaching its potential. Really? How about this? Companies not paying fair wages to employees is holding the economy back from reaching its potential. Why don't we flip that sentence around?
Well, and not only the economy, you're holding people back from reaching their full potential. Could you imagine, like, if you had to wake up every single day and go to a job that you were barely getting by on, how much stress you would feel? And if you could relieve that stress even a little bit, like if you could double somebody's wage, like Dan Price did, and you change somebody's life, the energy that they would have coming in, they would sleep better, they would eat better, they would just live better lives, they would not have stress, and just like people just have this mountain of stress on them every single day because they're barely making it in the richest country in the world.
Yeah.
How bad is Dan Price's lifestyle right now? Like, is he living in a hovel? Like, is he
a Fiat? As CEO now, look at the guy. Like, he can't even get a haircut. You know, I mean, look at his Twitter profile. My God, the guy must be struggling. You know,
he does look like a tree hugger.
Like, you know, he can't even get a shave, and he can't even cut his hair. This guy,
wow,
hippie, taking care of your employees,
socialist,
you socialist punk. I mean, and so, you know, will the president, you know, part of this infrastructure and investment package is supposed to be providing great union jobs. The president talked about this yesterday specifically. He said, we're passing this. This is going to be bringing high paying union jobs as a part of this infrastructure package. Okay. Well, by the way, it's only passed the Senate, so it still hasn't passed the House of Representatives. They're on break. It likely won't be taken up until the end of August. That's the timeline on this. So we'll see. And I'm curious to see how many companies, private companies, will be getting incentives from the government to hire. Like, I want to say this. Like, why do we need to give companies incentives to hire people right now? They have all the incentive is Americans would go and work for you if you paid better wages. Bottom line, if you allowed unionization in these businesses, you know, pressure from the government to say, hey, Amazon, pay your employees better. Don't make them pee in bottles. Allow them to unionize.
Well, and think about this too. If you're out there and you know your expenses, you've got a lot of people right now that are way behind on their rent. They're behind probably on their car payments. They're behind on everything. And if you're looking at a job that's not even going to help get you out of that mess, it's just going to, like, you're basically going to be working for food and whatever you can afford to take care of out of that miserable check you're going to get every week. Like, yeah. Why would you want that job? Why would you want to put yourself in a position that you can't even afford gas to get to a job that's not even going to help you get out of debt?
Yeah, like this story in Forbes this morning. The hiring crisis explained. Over 50,000 of hospitality workers wouldn't return to their old jobs for any reason. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that is? Like, they're paid like garbage.
$2.13 an hour.
I mean, if you work at like McDonald's or whatever, you're making a little bit more than minimum wage, on your feet all day, terrible working conditions. I mean, well, not terrible working conditions. I mean, I actually worked at McDonald's, and I, you know, but I mean, you know, benefits? No, can I get benefits? Can I have advancement that's going to push me up the ladder? No. But you know where you can get advancement? Not private companies, apparently. Because, you know, they're not, this is the exact story here. They're not going to promote you. When they promote you from within, you're going to only get a small raise. But when you get hired from outside, they'll pay you $30 an hour. Well, guess what? The government pays well. Yeah, that's right. The government pays well. So we now know that the biggest area in the economy where jobs are actually growing is in government jobs, not private companies. Why? It's because the government pays well.
And benefits.
And it has an endless money supply, apparently. You know, I've done videos here where I talk about the U.S. dollar. I literally, right before the show, I saw news on the U.S. dollar continuing to spiral down a black hole because we are so in debt. We continue to borrow. We continue to funnel money to these companies who aren't hiring and paying better wages so they actually can fill these jobs. And then the U.S. government is expanding, right? And they're hiring. So they have built-in benefits. They have good pay as a government job. And they have built-in pay raises when you're in the government job, right? And the big private companies still haven't learned their lessons. They haven't. Just like that Dan Price tweet talking about, hey, we'll promote you from within. Well, only $14 an hour, or $19 instead of the $20. But here's the thing. Here's what Richard Wolff, he's a great economist. He was on the Breaking Point show, and he had this to say about these government jobs and why this is such a problem. And just a ticking time bomb. Listen to Richard Wolff.
A huge proportion of the improved job situation is public sector jobs, jobs working for the government, not for the private sector. If you look at private sector employment, the news from last month is anything but wonderful or exciting, because what it shows, and this is perhaps the key insight of these numbers, is that this is an economy more dependent on life support from the government than it has ever been. I mean, we live at a time where corporations are in debt to the government more than ever before, where the government is in debt to both other governments and corporations and people more than ever before, and where households are living on more debt than ever before. This creates an economy held up in the end by the Federal Reserve, kept alive by the government, which ironically the private sector likes to bash, but upon which that sector now depends.
Love that guy. Absolutely, yeah. Right. So we've got a government that's propping up through the Federal Reserve money to Wall Street at record low interest rates, right? They're massively in debt to Wall Street. Wall Street just, you know, or Wall Street continues to borrow money like crazy. And what are they doing? They're not paying their employees better. No. They're continuing to buy back shares of their companies, sitting on massive debt, not investing it in research and development when, like, they should be.
Well, how come we never hear anything about the Treasury anymore? Because the Federal Reserve, a lot of people don't even realize, is a private bank. It's not even a federal, like, it's as federal as Federal Express. Mm-hmm. It is not a government-owned bank. So what happened to the Treasury? Like, the Treasury was supposed to be in charge of the money.
Well, the Treasury this week, of course, came out, and Janet Yellen, and it's sort of a mystery right now. Among the, like, my reporter friends, as we're looking at this, we're like, why? There's like some mixed messages coming out of the White House here. Like, the Treasury has kind of been out in front on some of these issues, almost as if the White House is not stepping in. They're allowing Treasury to make comments about raising the debt ceiling. Like, where's President Biden?
They're letting
on
the CDC push for rent moratoriums. Like, what is going on?
Right. So, the Treasury Department, of course, wants the debt ceiling raised because they want to be able to make sure we don't default on the money we've already, you know, that we've already borrowed from all these other countries. We have to pay, and companies and U.S. and Wall Street come. We need to pay that stuff back. We can't do that. Then people lose their faith in the U.S. dollar as a reserve currency of the world. So, I mean, this is a ticking time bomb. You know, I published a video the other day. Someone said, oh, man, this is all fear. I'm like, okay, $28 trillion in debt. And companies that are massively in debt also. And a government that's expanding and paying employees better than private companies. And there's 10 million job openings across the United States. You don't think this is a ticking time bomb? Okay. Fine. Nothing to see here then, I guess.
And relying on a dollar that's propped up only by oil. If the oil wasn't traded in the dollar, we would have no dollar right now.
Yeah, it's a debt economy. It's not backed by anything. It's not backed by gold. It is nothing right now. And, you know, it's really, really troubling. So this hiring crisis, I wanted to put it through this lens because, you know, when you have these reports by like the Chamber of Commerce basically saying that, you know, it's just jobs, it's just these jobless benefits. It's keeping people home. No, it's you're not paying people well enough. You're not paying people the right wages. If they actually made the money, they would be hired. If they, like we've reported over the past couple of days, these companies who've actually spent money on their employees and increased their wages significantly and given them reasons to stay on board and paid for their college expenses and benefits and expanding 401k, all of those things, guess what? They're able to fill those positions. So, hey, you cheap bastards, you want to continue to not pay people, this is what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. All right, let's talk about healthcare in a minute. Let's talk about healthcare, shall we? So next on the rundown, this morning, the U.S. healthcare system, there's a new report out this morning that shows the U.S. healthcare system has ranked last among the 11 wealthiest countries, despite, by the way, spending the highest percentage of its gross domestic product on healthcare. So this new
Isn't
analysis.
That crazy?
Yeah.
We're first in killing and last in helping.
We're the best at killing. We absolutely crush it at killing and bombing other countries. Here's the new report by the Commonwealth Fund. Stunning new report ranks U.S. dead last in healthcare among richest countries in the world. Researchers behind the report surveyed tens of thousands of patients and doctors in each country and used the data from the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development and the World Health Organization. And the report considered a number of key data points here. 71 performance measures. So let's scroll down here. 71 performance measures under 5 different categories. And guess who was number one?
New Zealand? Norway.
Norway. Netherlands and Australia were the top performing countries overall, with the U.S. coming in dead last. Surprised by that? Is anyone else surprised by that? So I get so freaking frustrated and angry, like I want to punch a computer screen or something. And you know me, I don't get mad, right? I'm not like a fiery kind of person, but it infuriates me when I hear people who are totally ignorant telling me that the U.S. has the best healthcare system. What, do you want to go live in like Norway? Have like a socialized medicine? The answer is yes, because the care process, the administrative efficiency, the equity, the overall health care, all of it. I mean, access to care, number one, was in one of the categories. The care process, the administrative efficiency of the process, equity and health care outcomes overall. So yes, the U.S. ranked last in care. It ranked last in administrative efficiency. It ranked last in equity and healthcare outcomes.
Despite the fact, it probably ranked first? Profit.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Well, we can charge 10 times more for pharmaceuticals in the United States. We can charge, you need a Tylenol? Like my wife, when she was pregnant, we were delivering Miles, our first baby, like she couldn't believe like the itemization, like getting the Tylenol was like, I think it was like $100. It was something ridiculous on the bill.
You know what I'd be curious to know? I'd be curious to know how much Pfizer is charging the United States for the vaccine versus like Israel and other countries. Like what are other countries paying for the vaccine versus what we're paying here in this country? I would love to know that.
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, and the fact that you have all these, I just still can't get over the fact that you have these, you know, you have these countries like China, you have other areas right now that didn't have access to like the U.S. backed, funded, by the way, billions that were funded to these pharmaceutical companies to make the vaccines, right? And that we can't give access to help the rest of the world because guess what? So goes the way the rest of the world goes, so goes the U.S. Astounding piece of this. Half of lower income U.S. adults in their report said costs prevented them from receiving care, while just more than a quarter of high income Americans said the same. In comparison, just 12% of lower-income residents in the UK and only 7% with higher income said it cost them stopping from getting care. The U.S. also has the highest infant mortality rate and the lowest life expectancy at age 60 compared with other countries. Researchers said several key factors set the high-performing nations apart from the United States. So here are the big differentiators. Guess what? They have universal coverage. Let me zoom in on that. They're covered. Everyone. They have universal health care. They also remove cost barriers. So they don't pay through the nose. They can go get a, they can have a baby and deliver a baby and not pay $5,000. It's free.
How much does it cost if like a senator or congressperson has a baby, I wonder?
Oh, it's free.
Oh, it's free? Oh.
That's free. But David, that's socialized medicine, and God, we do not want to become a socialized country, right?
Oh. Only for corporations and our Congress and Senate people. I got it.
Joseph said, I'm glad Clayton's not bad-mouthing Marjorie Taylor Greene today. Why? I called her hypocrisy out yesterday, Joseph.
That person probably likes corporate communism.
Right. And by the way, I was giving the news. She was spouting total BS about a company in her district that that was run out of her district because of a big corporation.
I guess the truth makes Joseph uncomfortable.
That's what we do here. You want to get uncomfortable? That's what our show is all about. So if you were uncomfortable about Marjorie Taylor Greene, then you're in the right place. So in the removal of cost barriers. Yeah, so how much does it cost? Investment in care systems to reduce inequities. Oh, wow. You mean, so if you're a lower income citizen in Norway, like it doesn't matter? Well, how shocking is that? Imagine that. Oh, and we have investing in social services for children and working age adults as well. And by the way, we should even mention, elder care. What do you mean? So children and early childhood development and all of that are taken care of for these families in Australia, in France, in Germany, the Netherlands, the list goes on, New Zealand, Norway, Sweden, Switzerland, the United Kingdom, and the United States is freaking dead last. Sorry.
Well, that's the thing. Like, why does American exceptionalism only apply to war? Why are these people just like hardcore American patriots when it comes to war and our position in the world and our military might? But when it comes to taking care of our people and helping people, well, that's socialism.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. And the reason, and we're going to talk about some of the propaganda here on the show in just a minute when we get to our story here about coming up, actually, reporters and their ties to the Pentagon. But it's all a propaganda machine for big business, right? So you've been lied to. You know, when you watch mainstream media, you've been lied to. We've seen for years, I've seen talking heads across networks like, look, America, yeah, we're not perfect, but you don't want to wind up like Norway, do you? And all the talking heads will chuckle. You know, I want to be like Norway. What are their taxes, like 43%? I don't exactly know what their tax rate is, but yes, they pay more in taxes. But guess what? Everyone's taken care of. They also don't bomb other countries into oblivion, and that's how they save money. They don't have to bomb the rest of the world on a regular basis.
Did you watch the documentary Sicko, Michael Moore, where he broke down basically like what they pay in taxes over there versus what we pay in hidden, like what we don't even count as taxes here? It ends up being around 70% for us anyway. If you look at what we actually spend on taxes, federal tax, state, all that stuff.
It's all propaganda. That's what my point is. Like we're so lied to. And we've been fed this narrative by the mainstream media, which is in total cahoots with Wall Street. Remember, mainstream media is run by billionaires. They make their money by keeping you in this cycle of poverty. They make their money by you being beholden to the system. I mean, why? What other country do you flip on the news in the afternoon and or just put on the news at like 1 p.m.? Flip on like, I don't know, CNBC or some other channel in the afternoon. And all of the drug commercials that are being broadcast to you back to back to back. There's all kinds of insurance commercials. There's all kinds of drug commercials. It's a whole system built on lying to you and getting you to spend money on it. Reverse mortgages so that you can pay off debts. I mean, come on.
And I remember that that video you played of interviewing people in the UK when they were talking about prices of what we pay for things over here. Yeah. You know, they're advertising on TV, spending millions of dollars a year on pharmaceuticals. And then you go and we're charged outrageous prices for them in the United States to cover those marketing budgets. And then overseas in the UK, they're paying like not even a quarter of what we're paying.
Right. Well, we don't want to wind up like them, though, David. We certainly don't want to. Better quality of life, longer life expectancy, healthcare, a great education system,
vacations.
Better food, vacations. And it's a free market. It's a market-based economy. It's not socialism. And I should be clear, there's never in the history of the world been a socialist country in its purest form. Never. It's never existed. There have been shades of it here and there and pieces of it. But when you work towards the common good and you don't have massive income inequality and this huge wealth gap in other countries. So these CEOs in other countries in Norway and Netherlands, like they live a great life, but they don't make 33 times what their cheapest or least employee makes. We do in the United States. Well, my favorite part of this at the end here is if healthcare in the United States were an Olympic sport, the U.S. might not even qualify in a competition with other high-income nations, Eric Schneider said, the lead author behind the report. The U.S. has two healthcare systems for Americans with the means and insurance to have a regular doctor and reported experiences with their day-to-day care are relatively good. But for those who lack access, the consequences are stark. The performance is nothing new. The U.S. has landed in last place in all seven studies the Commonwealth has funded since its release in 2004. So this is nothing new. We've been talking about it here on the show. It was awful under the Obama years. It was awful under the Trump years. And it's awful under the 6 months of the Biden presidency. Nothing has changed because all of these corporatists run Washington. They run the presidency. They run Congress. We should not be surprised by this.
But we knew that. He said nothing will fundamentally change. I mean, he's living up to his word.
Yeah. And, you know, that's a reason why Bernie Sanders doesn't get elected, because the corporatists will not allow that to happen. You know, the Democratic Party, as you know, fought to get him off the ballot and fought long and hard to make sure that he wasn't winning. And we know that. We know that during the Hillary run when Bernie Sanders was running against Hillary. We know that from the DNC emails. The only reason we know that is because of Julian Assange, by the way, who I guess is a traitor. Anyway,
right.
That's our healthcare. I want to talk about the MyPillow guy. You're going to wait till you see this video against the MyPillow guy. He gets debunked. We're going to show you that. And we're going to also look, coming up here on the show, how reporters really love the Pentagon. And some really new troubling reports about major reporters at major newspapers that probably many of you read on a regular basis, and I hope that you don't, but you probably do. They're in cahoots with the Pentagon, which is a total shock, I'm sure. We'll get to that and more as our show continues. But I want to tell you about Stamps.com. By the way, if you support our sponsors, we can continue to do this show. And we've got some great sponsors like Stamps.com, and they support our show. They've been a supporter for over a year now of our show. They believe in what we do. And so if you guys want to save money on postage, go to Stamps.com and click on that little microphone at the top right there and put in your promo code INVEST, INVEST, okay? That's all you have to do, okay? And what they do is, I mean, they make it easy for small businesses to mail and ship without needing to take a trip to the post office. Okay. You do not need to go to the post office, and you can print official U.S. postage and shipping labels 24/7 without having to leave your desk to buy any kind of fancy equipment. And guess what? They're actually going to give you a digital scale for free. So you can measure your packages right at your desk. And they'll also give you a 4-week trial plus free postage and no long-term commitments or contracts when you use that coupon code. And so it's actually cheaper. Like if you ship anything via UPS or the U.S. Postal Service, when you use Stamps.com, it's actually cheaper than using the Postal Service, up to 40% off. So why wouldn't you use these guys? 40% off and up to 66% off of UPS shipping rates. They have a switch and save feature. You can quickly compare carriers to find the best rates. And the best thing is they'll pick it up right at your home so you don't have to deal with it. So anyway, go to stamps.com, click on the little microphone in the upper right-hand corner of the screen, and put in that promo code INVEST to get your free digital scale, get some free postage, and 4-week free trial. Thanks, stamps.com. These guys are great. We've been with them for many, many years. Never go to the post office again with stamps.com. I think there are few things I dislike more than going to the post office. I can't.
The license branch?
Yeah, like the DMV. So thank you, Stamps. I do not want to go to the post office. It's like absolute. Hey, forgive me if there's any postal employees watching right now, but standing in line at the post office is like the world's worst feeling. So thank you to Stamps.com for supporting our show. All right. More news to get to today. Let's talk about the new really troubling story out this morning about the reporters who we have come to know and respect, right? The reporters that we pick up the Washington Post and we pick up the New York Times or we pick up the USA Today or we pick up any of these big national newspapers, which we are told, right, is the bastion of truth, right? We are told that these companies are, and these reporters, that we should pay to go behind a subscription paywall, right? Because these are the only guys telling us the truth. I've documented repeatedly here on the show how the New York Times has lied, has put out phony information, has had reporters not even going and covering certain stories and lying about their and lying about their sourcing, lying about actually being in certain areas where they said they were when they never actually left their house. God knows, we know the Jason Blair story from a number of years ago, right? Reporter who was literally reporting on stories that he made up fake interviews with people. I mean, the list goes on and on, right? Even last week, the New York Times talking about President Obama's birthday party where there was hundreds of people at his birthday party not wearing any masks. And the New York Times reporter that covered the story said it was okay, though, because they were sophisticated vaccinated. It was a quote, sophisticated vaccinated crowd. That's why they didn't have to wear masks. Imagine if that was a Trump party. That's how the New York Times covered the Obama birthday party. They were a sophisticated vaccinated crowd, so it was okay that they didn't have masks on. Well, now, a new report out this morning shows that the Center for New American Security, which is a Pentagon think tank, provides jobs residencies to the top national security reporters for the New York Times and the Washington Post. So here's what this says. Imagine a country where there's no separation between the government, the military, and the media. A lot of Americans would think of China, Russia, or North Korea, right? But it's a perfect description of the United States today. In this report, located in Washington, the Center for a New American Security, the CNAS, is the clearest example of this unholy merger. The Gray Zone reports. The CNAS is the premier foreign policy think tank of the Democratic Party. It is funded by the Pentagon and the State Department and has taken more money from weapons companies over the last several years than any other think tank in Washington. So let's get this straight. These reporters who are supposed to be reporting on the Pentagon and national security and war-related issues are basically funded or sitting on the board of these of this think tank and is funded by the very organizations, the Pentagon and the State Department, that they are there to report on. See any conflict of interest here at all? That's like, I'm a tech reporter who works for Apple. I'm a tech reporter covering technology companies who works for Google. Or I sit on a tech think tank that's totally funded by Google.
That's the same as these companies that do these, they do research on their product or whatever, and it's by a company that they own. So it's all right. Favorable.
Right. Yeah. CNS, it's the premier foreign policy think tank of the Democratic Party, funded by the State Department and the Pentagon, and has taken more money from weapons companies than any other think tank. It's also funded by oil companies, big banks, and right-wing governments, basically the most destructive forces on the planet. So for President Biden, right, how does this affect him? Well, apparently CNAS serves as a farm, almost like, you know, a farm team in baseball, at which key positions in his administration are cultivated. At least 16 alumni are now in key positions inside the Biden Pentagon and State Department. So let's be clear about something, okay? Not even accounting for the reporters for a second, which is all egregious on its own. Members of the Biden administration come right out of this think tank, and they are funded by the weapons companies that get money from defense contracts paid for by the Pentagon. Do you see any kind of crony capitalism here at work?
Well, and think about this. On an even greater scale, CNN itself takes advertising money from these companies, and that's why they don't ever talk bad about war, because they get all the money from the same contractors that we're talking about here are funding our news channels. So you don't think they're going to kind of change their reporting a bit?
Yeah, I mean, have you ever seen commercials where they're like, at Boeing, we're building the next generation of aircraft. Like, I've seen commercials like that. At Raytheon, we're building the engines that drive commerce around the world. You know, at Lockheed Martin, we're doing the... Like, those are all defense contracts. That's what... And they funnel money onto CNN, onto Fox News, onto the major media stations. So when you're watching mainstream media and you see those commercials, they're not there to get brand recognition for Boeing. Boeing's not hoping that like more people are like, huh, Boeing. No.
I'm going to go buy a plane today.
It's just payola, right? It's just pay for play. That's all it is. So they're making money off of it. CNN's not going to do a bad story about Boeing. They're not going to do a bad story about Raytheon. They're not going to do a bad story about war contracts or any of this stuff. They're not going to do it. That's how this works. Greasing the palms of these guys, right? The report goes on. But what's most shocking is that several national security and foreign policy reporters for the elite U.S. media outlets are affiliated with the CNAS, and therefore indirectly affiliated with and likely paid by the U.S. government and corporations, the very forces they should be holding accountable. For more than 20 years, the New York Times, the Washington correspondent David Sanger, has relentlessly pushed deceptions to con the public into supporting U.S. aggression and war. He, of course, famously pushed George W. Bush's lies about WMDs in Iraq and about Iran attempting to create nuclear weapons with evidence-free claims. No evidence whatsoever. And evidence-free claims about Russian cyber attacks with no evidence. The list goes on.
Isn't it funny how when, like, you'll notice if something is on the news and it's, like, pro-war or whatever, then all of a sudden all these blue check marks on Twitter start trying to sell us war, like... This is what they're doing. This is what's happening. It's like this propaganda campaign just spreads out across the internet. Like they're just waiting for their orders, marching orders.
Yeah. Like, and even like his colleague, Eric Schmidt, as it's pointed out in this piece, I mean, you would see that, right? You'd see retweets by these, like all these New York Times colleagues, and like they retweet each other and like, oh yeah, you know, my colleague, David Sanger, just posted a really interesting story on the nuclear buildup in Iran. Like, you got a must read story. You got a must read this story. And then, you know, CNN has David Sanger on in a scary piece with Wolf Blitzer. Like, joining us now is David Sanger from the New York Times. So, really scary story out of Iran, David. Can you tell us more about what Iran is doing with their nuclear arsenal? That's right, Wolf. Here's what's happening. And okay, where's this coming from? Like, this is our national news media. No wonder we can't trust it. Eric Schmidt, Sanger's colleague, senior correspondent covering national security for the New York Times, is also a resident, is in residence at the CNAS. He's famously pushed Russia bounty stories, which were eventually discredited. He was also a reliable promoter of intelligence claims about Russia hacking, which was totally debunked. And the Washington Post. I mean, on and on and on at the Times. Michael Gordon is another one, along with Judith Miller, who promoted, of course, the Iraqi WMD deception. The Wall Street Journal, who Michael Gordon works for, spent months pumping out Wuhan lab leak propaganda. Once again, promoting claims of intelligence officials without any skepticism. Greg Gaff, Jaff is a Washington Post national security reporter. His article on the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan quotes Elliot Cohen, a former Bush administration official who is now a fellow at the CNAS. Probably doesn't disclose that anywhere in the article, by the way. Like, you know, like I'm currently a resident at the very same think tank that's being paid for by the Pentagon. Should I mention that? No, I guess not. That's your mainstream media. And then there's a news story out this morning also that the New York Times admits now that it sends some of their stories to the U.S. government for approval before publication. Just look at that.
Huh. Hmm.
So it sends it over to the Pentagon.
Who'd they admit that to? A real journalist?
Mm-hmm. Ben Norton. New York Times actually casually acknowledged that it sends major scoops to the U.S. government before publication to make sure that national security officials have no concerns. This confirms what New York Times correspondent like James Risen have said. The American newspaper Record regularly collaborates with the U.S. government, suppressing reporting that top officials don't want made public. Mainstream media. This is why the American people don't trust the mainstream media. It's not because because they've undermined our trust.
Well, and basically they're another arm of the executive branch, right? I mean, they're supposed to be. And the thing is, like, I have always said, I feel like the media is the one doing the biggest injustice to the American people, because if we were an informed population, we would not stand for the stuff that's happening. The reason that everything happens the way it does is because it happens behind closed doors. We know nothing about it because nobody's holding anybody accountable. Nobody's putting anybody's feet to the fire and asking them hard questions so that we can make informed decisions. We are making decisions based on, you know, the left versus the right and opinion. You know, mm-hmm. Rachel Maddow, Hannity, all these people that just spew opinion, bad opinions, in my opinion. And that's what we have as our news. So, you know, that's like the biggest injustice I feel to the American people.
Yeah. What sources can you trust? I mean, when all of the sources that people get their news from, you sit down, you go to a hotel, you pick up on USA Today, right? They have a big pile of USA Today's, Gannett newspapers, right? You're going to trust USA Today, a billionaire corporation?
Well, you know, I get better news from RT News than I get in the United States.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, getting your news from U.S. sources, that's, you know, very few sources exist that that I trust. Very few sources. Most of them are independent journalists who are actually in the field. And, you know, they're supported by their own readers because they don't have a big corporation paying for them.
Same.
You know, like this show. Like, if you subscribe to this show and you support this show, we are not paid for by any big corporations, you know? That's the way it goes. I don't have like a Rupert Murdoch or you know, anybody spending billions of dollars telling us what to do here on this show. We get to cover the stories that make people uncomfortable, and we go after both sides. So when you subscribe here, that's what you get. And when you support us and you become a channel member for $1.99 a month or whatever, then that helps us. You know, that helps us keep doing what we're doing, to be able to write this show and do this show every day and get these stories out to people that you're not going to see anywhere else. So here's the next story on the rundown, which I wanted to get to. So I know we're sitting here bashing the mainstream media, rightly so, on today's show. But the mainstream media actually did something good for once. And they actually did quality journalism, looking at the MyPillow guy and all of his baseless election accusations about it being a phony election, right? So surprisingly... Surprisingly, CNN actually did some real journalism. Now, let me couch this by saying the reason that they did this story and they put money to fly their reporters to different locations and so forth is because it's the MyPillow guy, right? It's like an anti-Trump story, so they're going to be all over it. However, they actually did quality journalism on it. So on its face, this is a great piece of journalism, but they only do this kind of stuff when it comes to like Trump, right? CNN still loves to just talk about Trump, and they can talk about these guys. But anyway, this report is amazing to watch because step by step by step, they did what journalists should do, which is check, go out, write to the source, find out if it's true, fact check, actually go to the source. Don't just sit in some New York City office, get on the internet and do some stupid fact check piece. No, actually quality journalism. So I slam CNN all the time. I slam CNN all the time on this show, and I will reward them when they actually do right. But mostly CNN is awful.
You're cracking me up.
I know, Brian. But this time, you guys did great. And this time, it has to do with my pillow guy, Mike Lindell, who's continued to say that the election was fraudulent, that he's got all of this evidence that is going to come out, and that he has piles and piles and piles of evidence about how this election was rigged, etc., and how President Trump will be reinstated as president in maybe August or maybe September. We don't know. So CNN went to task on this, and I just want to show you this video because it is pretty amazing. And just sit back and check this out.
The MyPillow guy.
Mike Lindell. Yes, the MyPillow guy is convinced. China hacked the election, Donald Trump really won, and Lindell has the absolute proof.
They did it in all the states.
And they changed the votes.
Every single state.
And you have the proof.
Yes. The packet
that
capture.
Will show.
I have the whole
the
data.
The actual exchange of votes.
Yep. Yep, 100%. 100%.
It is, of course, complete nonsense. Despite every piece of so-called evidence Lindell has presented so far, three videos, a lawsuit, screenshots he sent to CNN, there's still no proof that the election was hacked, and that's according to two dozen cyber experts and election officials contacted by CNN.
100% evidence.
When Lindell released his so-called evidence, in videos like this, fact-checkers quickly found out it was evidence of nothing. These images are just publicly available voter data, scrolling across the screen, not proof of election hacking. So Lindell changed his story, saying now the real evidence will be revealed at a cyber symposium, streamed live with MyPillow discounts available throughout.
So wait a second. Okay, so the data that I have initially, which was evidence of massive voter fraud, turns out not to be the case. So he's walking it back, and he says, "Well, no, that was just a teaser, I guess. So what we're going to do is a big cyber symposium. It's going to be online. You can watch it, and during the cyber symposium, you will be able to order my pillows at a discount." Meanwhile, this guy goes to these rallies. You know, we played them all summer, right? Where he was at these last year, where he was at these rallies, and he'd be there, and up on stage would be giving out MyPillow discount codes. Wonder what his motivation is.
Too bad he doesn't have instant delivery for people that are going to fall asleep listening to him.
Where's my MyPillow?
And as further proof, he sent CNN a preview, six different screenshots.
You sent us this on Friday.
Yeah.
What is this?
That's just one piece of 1.2 billion lines of data from the election. Okay. There's within that will be timestamps of when it happened. There'll be flips in there.
So we sent this to our own experts. Mm-hmm. He said that it doesn't show any specific actions of any kind, election related or not. And it's proof of nothing.
Okay, so he said that's nothing, huh? Well, he's wrong. Then you didn't hire a cyber expert.
We didn't consult just one cyber expert. We consulted nine. Top.
My pillow guy, like, he just crapped his pants. He's like, well, I guess your guy isn't good then. The guy that you hired is not good. Well, we didn't just hire one. We hired nine. Well, I don't know what kind of cybersecurity guys you hired. But that guy is not good. The guys I hired at MyPillow. If you come down to MyPillow headquarters, you're gonna see all sorts of cybersecurity guys. They're just fantastic.
If you go to the QAnon website, there's like a whole ton of them right there on the hire me page.
Yeah, they're the job posting. I know your pillow guys are bad.
Top election security experts who told us Lindell's screenshots were extremely rudimentary metadata and completely ridiculous. We also reached all 15 officials from the 15 counties where Lindell says, without any proof, votes were hacked and switched. Lindell mentions some of the counties in his videos and lists them out in his counter lawsuit against Dominion Voting. They are counties that use paper ballots counted by systems not connected to the internet.
Do you hear that? So wait a minute. All of the... Yeah, all this lines of code that I got access to, it's all on the internet. They were all switched. They all got timestamps. They're all on the internet. So we checked, and we went to the counties where he highlights them in his video, and they are not connected to the internet. They are paper ballots which go into a receptacle that are not even connected to the internet. It's like Battlestar Galactica, you know? Well, it's not connected to the internet. It's the whole reason the Cylons can't destroy it.
Every one of them told CNN there is no evidence they were hacked by anyone.
You identify 15 counties where the votes were switched. We contacted all 15 counties, red and blue.
Good for you.
Red and blue.
That doesn't matter.
And
that doesn't matter? You mean you fact-check stuff? That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter at all.
A single person that said this is even possible. They say, are you mistaken?
Right.
They think you're wrong.
Right.
The bottom line is they have paper ballots.
Right, right. I'm totally wrong. I am totally wrong. Have you not heard a thing I said? I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
Look. All right. You got me. So what I'm going to do right now is offer your viewers 60% off of their pillows with this code. And I'm going to offer you 80% for this great interview and your fact checking.
Yeah, I'm totally wrong, but you guys can get 80% off of my pillow, okay? Just go to I Lied as the coupon code. I Lied. I have my head up my ass as the coupon code.
Hey, that's
that
good.
That proved that they were not.
So you guys went and they let you audit there? They let you do a full audit, CNN? You guys did a full audit on 15 counties, huh?
We did what Lindell did not do. We went to Delta County, Michigan to see.
Wait a minute, so you guys actually went there? You actually believed me when I said that I knew what I was talking about? You guys actually spent money? Oh, the joke's on you, CNN. You actually flew a reporter? You actually flew a reporter to the headquarters and analyzed this stuff? Oh, my God.
I mean, technically, I went there. I shipped some pillows.
Yeah, we had a couple people in this county that loved our pillows, so we shipped them there. And by the way, my pillows suck, too. I don't know if you know that. My pillows are awful.
Carried out. Trump won here, nearly 2-1.
The state, Michigan, entry point order, Delta County.
In his videos and his lawsuit, Lindell claims someone in China hacked the election system here and stole away precisely 3,215 Trump votes and turned them into Biden votes. The Republican county clerk, Nancy Prezrocki.
I love that. The Republican county clerk, Nancy. The Republican county clerk, Nancy.
Finds the allegation laughable for one main reason.
It is never connected to the internet.
Never.
Never connected to the internet at all whatsoever.
So who cares if it's connected to the internet? China has people in her office, probably flew there, you know, and went through the kitchen, the back door, the kitchen and the cafeteria and came in there. It's not connected. Who cares if it's connected to the internet, CNN?
Whoever.
Not only are they not connected to the internet, the votes are cast by hand on paper. Voters scan their ballots into this Dominion scanning machine where two digital storage cards keep a tally. The paper ballot goes right into this bin under lock and seal.
And that container is sealed.
And just to check that everything went okay, they conduct audits comparing the paper ballots to the results on the computer. And in 2020, it was an exact match.
See, but they maybe had their math wrong. You know, who's checking their math? Who's checking the math of these guys?
We audited three different precincts and they matched exactly. So
what would you say to somebody who made a documentary that among many counties accused your county of being the victim of a Chinese hack that changed the vote counts?
I would say that didn't happen in Delta County.
A Republican-led Michigan State Senate investigation found
zero evidence of fraud. Zero evidence of fraud. Well, what's the MyPillow guy going to do? I mean, the sad thing is that there's people that believe this crap and continue to fund a money to these people. We saw that with Trump. Now the Trump administration, the Trump super PAC has now given millions of dollars back to people. Finally admitting, like, hey, we took money from all these people that were like going to support Trump and his, you know, trying to fight election fraud, and now they're quietly having to basically send millions of dollars back to these poor people, these donors who sent in $5, $10, $100 because they thought they were helping, they realized it was phony, and now they're quietly sending the money back because, you know, they realized they took it under false pretenses.
Well, they're doing that in good faith so that they can then sell the Trump cards, you know, those Trump membership cards.
With the spelling mistakes on them.
Yeah. And the Nazi eagle.
Yeah. Oh, my God. What is happening in this world? So what's next for the MyPillow guy? I don't know, but hey, he just pulled his ads off of Fox News. Maybe he'll start advertising on CNN now that they've done this good piece of journalism. See, I'll give him credit. I'll give CNN credit for doing good journalism there. Now I wish they would cover the stories that we cover here on the show. You know, like talk about why the New York Times is sending some of its stories. Wouldn't that be great if CNN actually starts covering these types of stories? New York Times admits it sent some of their stories to the U.S. government before publication. Or that, hey, members of major newspapers like the New York Times and Washington Post and Wall Street Journal are literally basically funded by the Pentagon. They won't do those stories, but they will do the MyPillow guy story. And we will hear too, because that guy is a nut job.
I do wish though that when there were, you know, all the allegations coming up and all the lawsuits and all the stuff in these courts and all that stuff, that there would have been some level of investigation like we saw here into at least the claims, so that it could have squelched a lot of potential conspiracy theories or whatever. Like if you have those, they're just going to fester if you don't answer questions that are unanswered. Like there's some people that legitimately just want questions answered, and a journalist, a good journalist, could do that for both sides. And stop a lot of this stuff getting out of control, but they don't do that anymore.
Yeah, I mean, like they did in this county, and they actually had a Senate investigation. You know, they did that.
Well, no, I'm saying no, I know, but I'm saying from the beginning,
Michigan State Senate investigation found.
You know, from the beginning of the election process, like when there were all these claims in Arizona and all this other stuff, there should have been investigators at least looking into the claims so that they could have like squashed them once and for all, or been like, well, there is a little something here, so that we, the people, could have more faith in our electoral process.
Well, that's why we have the MyPillow guy.
Yeah.
He's on the front lines.
He's going to do that. And just so you guys know, Mike was kind enough to send me a coupon code. So if you guys want a coupon for the MyPillow website, it is head up ass, and you're going to save 60% on your first pillow and 10% on your second. So
what's
thank you,
the
Mike.
Code?
Head up ass.
Say what?
But that's for the next 5 minutes only. So get over there and get that pillow right now.
And I so many people in the chat, they're like, the pillows suck, by the way. Like they're like, you know, oh man. Oh, there you go, everyone. That's the show on this Wednesday. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. I hope you had a wonderful day. And if you're new here, you're new to the program, please just subscribe to the channel. We do this show every morning at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time, covering the stories that you won't see the mainstream media covering. And we try to get uncomfortable because that's how we grow, right? We cover the stories that make us a little uncomfortable. You have to look under the rug sometimes and sweep out the cobwebs and the dirt. So, and also we have our daily newsletter. If you go to morninginvest.com, you've got to subscribe. I realize like I don't tell people enough about this. We've got a whole new look and design, by the way. So if you come over to morninginvest.com, we publish it every day. Just go to morninginvest.com. The URL is right there on your screen. Put in your email address and you'll receive a welcome email from me. And then the newsletter covers about 5 or 6 stories every morning. We cover a lot of different things. We cover the markets. We look at some crypto news as well. First thing in the morning, delivered to your inbox in your email. So make sure it doesn't go to your spam folder as well. Drag it over to your VIP list. That's what I like to suggest. So that way it doesn't go to spam. And we publish that Monday through Friday at morninginvest.com. Sign up to receive our daily newsletter. Plus, we also give you a preview of what's coming up on the show every day as well in the live show. So check that out. All right, everyone. Well, that's going to do it. I think that show, let's put a fork in it, shall we?
Let's do it. Let's put a pillow in it.
Put a pillow in it. Thanks, Mike Lindell, my pillow guy. Thanks to you for watching and subscribing.
And Mike, he's going to let me know after the show how many people took us up on that offer. So thank you for being a sponsor of the show, Mr. Lindell. We appreciate it.
Good. Good. I'm glad I did. Peace out,
everyone.
You're not
licking your lips enough, man.
Yeah, that's why, you know, that's people love my pillows, and you know, they love me.
You got to do the, when you're doing it, you got to do this.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Kind election related or yeah. not, and it's proof of nothing.
Okay, so yeah. he said that's nothing, huh? Well, he's wrong. Then you didn't hire a cyber expert.
Well,
there comes the tongue.
Hey, what the tongue's coming out? Oh, it came out. It's like a lizard.
Oh. Free Britney. Yes, free Britney.
Free Britney, everyone. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Peace out.